that the state requires that.
Yes.
For landfills, yes. Under Title 27, correct.
Just as a question for you engineers and engineering geologists, from what I recall, the soils beneath this landfill are fairly porous and gravelly, and I can just imagine a 100-year event scouring out the bottom of these levees and potentially causing a lot of disruption. You know, is armoring enough? As I envision that would be the size of the levee, but, you know, what about going down deep to try to pin the levee? Is that even practical?
Well, the flood control has done a number of different things. They've installed some what they refer to as groins off of the levee. And again, this is not adjacent to the landfill. Again, the landfill in the flood control's mind is the strongest part of the levee system. Mm-hmm. They're looking primarily downstream of the Sway Road crossing. I don't know. I got some illustrations on that. Areas where they feel like where the weakest points may be, and it really has to do with, if I could borrow that pointer. The Sway Road crossing is here and then on downstream, but really the levee itself, which runs right along here, was constructed out of earthen materials that are not that strong. And so wherever the river meanders and starts to bump up against the levee, that's essentially the most critical spot. Now, where that's going to happen, you really don't know. The river kind of has a mind of its own. Some of the actions that are being taken this summer and fall is to put in a primary channel in the middle of the river to try to at least keep the low flows in the center of the riverbed and have it not divert it from bumping up against the levee itself. The groins and things, we went on a tour, were installed down in this area, and they're essentially just fencing that was put out to try and defer some energy away from the levee itself. Some armoring and some rock was done further downstream last year. This year, the city of Santa Maria, actually, we're just finishing up a sedimentation basin in this area, and we also have several piles of rock riprap, which will be available during this winter and future winters for flood fighting, we call it. Our landfill guys are actually going through training with the flood control folks on responding to emergencies, because obviously the city has very much a vested interest in the levee being maintained. Again, not really for the landfill itself, in my estimation, but more so for these folks right here in this area is where the FEMA flood maps are showing the area that. And the inundation is, again, contrary to the Katrina sort of thing where you have, you know, a lake well above the houses, right. We're looking at a 2 to 3 feet maximum in terms of flooding. Still, if it's your house, you're not happy if you're even 2 feet into water, but it's, as you know, relatively flat in the Santa Maria Valley, so the water will spread quickly. And that also, I think, goes to the erosive energy, you know, in terms of can the river itself, you know, kind of rip through, if you will, a mass like this. The much easier way around, if we go up or downstream from the landfill, is really where the water or where the levee is most vulnerable.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Hayashi.
Brad, can you help me out here? I think it's a Bonita School or Bonita Lateral.
Bonita Road Crossing.
Bonita Road Crossing.
Upriver.
Did it breach there a few years ago? Because I know they've got a lot of rock, riffraff stockpiled above the levee there.
Yeah, there has been some stockpiled there. I couldn't say for sure whether or not there was.
But
the crossing itself washes out frequently.
It's made to wash out.
Yeah, same with the Sway Road crossing. Yeah. Was pretty much.
So do you think that maybe the core, you know, due to the Katrina, they, after seeing what happened there, they're just kind of covering their.
I think that's one of the things that has got them out. And, of course, we hear about the Delta levees and the other things because just tremendous liabilities.
Yeah, because during times of big storms when you're in that area, the water does come running by there pretty quick, but I think it's downstream more is where the more of the problems are going to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
historically.
And that's what, again, I was up on the county's flood control district's webpage, actually, last night, and they recently published a report co-published with the Corps where they're trying to get some federal monies to help reinforce some of those areas that they term most critical.
There's those new houses along the freeway where they have those quote-unquote holding ponds. Mm-hmm. Is that supposed to take some of the run, some of the brunt, or
not contributions from the river?
River? Yeah.
That's more from the ag lands east of town there. That's referred to as the Bradley Channel, and that is part of the county again flood control system.
So that has nothing to do with the creek, with the river.
Not with the river. I mean, it ends up in the river eventually, but it's more just covering the drainage from the ag.
Any other board questions or comments?
Thanks, Mayor.
Mr. Shallcross?
Yeah. From my understanding of this, the city is supposed to have their report back by the 31st of January on what they're going to do on these issues or how they're going to address them. Is that right?
Yes, for the NHS management plan revision.
And also the 100-year, how they're going to deal with the 100-year flood event issue?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'd just like to get a copy of that when we get it. And maybe we could, at our following meeting, have some report.
Do you want a separate status
item
or just part of the EO report?
I mean, I think these are some important issues that the city's going to be reporting back on. I mean, are we going to, you know, okay, well, let me ask you this. How are you planning on letting the board know what the city's response is?
Probably not, unless we ask.
Well, yeah. That's my point.
Typically not, but you're right. But we could report back, perhaps at the May board meeting, allowing us some time to digest the two submittals. Also, let me follow up with kind of a counter question: both issues, NHIS issue and transparency associated with that, as well as the flooding issue, or were you concerned more with the 100-year flood protection issue?
Well, I think both issues are you know, of concern.
So why don't we schedule, or have you set this as a separate agenda item and as a status report to the board?
Okay. And I'm going to suggest the May agenda.
That's fine.
That'll give us some time to digest it, and then the production dates for the agenda package.
Yeah. Perhaps Mr. Hageman could be at that meeting so we could find out what reaction the city has to the report.
I mean, maybe what's underlying Mr. Shallcross's comment is, what is the nature of this digesting that you would do with the city's documents? Would it change the terms or the some parts, aspects of this permit? And if so, is it premature to be considering this permit right now with these pending reports? I mean, if you wouldn't change anything in your permitting, why are we asking the city to go through this? And if we are asking the city to go through this, why wouldn't we be possibly modifying the permit?
Let me take one of the two issues and try to use that as an analog. With respect to the NHIS program, we have a program that is approved within the waste discharge requirements. But the specifics of the program, for example, the reporting requirements or the sampling methodology, is actually defined in a report that's outside of the waste discharge requirements and that is actually tuned through time as we learn more about the program. Very similar to the monitoring and reporting program, actually, that we tune it as we learn more about how groundwater is responding or behaving. So I think to get at your question, I'm not sure we would change anything within the waste discharge requirements. What we will do through time is a tuning of the NHIS program potentially what the acceptance criteria is, what the sampling frequency for any incoming loads is, or prospective incoming loads, the screening approach to things, what the reporting requirements may be from the city to us with respect to the program too. What I've found through my own experience is that when we get too specific within the waste discharge requirements, we wind up having a need to come back, and we're sort of shackled by the constraints written into the WDR, so we have to come back to the board real frequently. It becomes a very high maintenance item then. So we try to balance the flexibility there and leave some of the specificity out. Does that answer that?
That was addressed in the CEQA document, that the plan was could be addressed through the executive officer approval. The approval of that plan, I believe. So.
For NHIS.
For NHIS.
And with respect to the 100-year flood protection issue, very similar, I think, there. Is we're talking about, actually, we're kind of on a hypothetical line right now, because we don't know, actually, where the structural issues with respect to the levee are. Are they up gradient or at the location of the landfill, or are they downgradient of the landfill? If they're downgradient of the landfill, suddenly they become much less important to this specific waste discharge requirement. Still very important to the city, obviously, but not so much to the landfill itself. If it's determined that the levee has a weakness upgrading or adjacent to the landfill, our expectation is the city will then propose some engineered control measures, armoring of the levee of some sort or something along those lines. But we want to allow them the flexibility to say, you know what, we think this combination of engineered controls works best, rather than building that into the waste discharge requirements and being that specific.
And depending on what engineering controls, if any, are proposed, those controls may require modifications to the waste discharge requirements before they're implemented. But at this point, since we don't know what those controls might be, there really isn't anything to put in the waste discharge requirements. And also back to the NHIS program, although a lot of the specifics are in the program document, the waste discharge requirements do prohibit this program from causing any detectable impact on groundwater. I don't think it addresses the surface water issue, since that's relatively new.
How about the Integrated Waste Management Board? Are they involved primarily in kind of checking on the Army Corps' calculations and recommendations? I mean, I can't imagine that our board and staff really gets involved in that. I mean, isn't there a state agency that makes sure that the Army Corps is on target?
I'm just going to speculate a little bit on this. I think it's actually County Flood Control that evaluates if the Corps is on target. And,
okay.
And I think Brad alluded that it actually the Flood Control is holding the Corps up and bringing them along with respect to identifying specific areas where the levee might be weak, and then maybe finding funding sources and engineered repairs or remedies as well.
In terms of the Waste Management Board, their program is implemented through the Santa Barbara County Local Enforcement Authority, LEA, and we went up to LEA drafts the permit, and then the Waste Board adopts it.
Okay.
We went through that process in May of this year, and Jim Hamlin is here from Santa Barbara County, and that was not or is not an issue for the LEA, nor for the Waste Board, I don't believe. I think it's...
I would just interested to know who, other than us, looks at that recommendation from the Army Corps and makes sure that, you know, it's sound.
I think the Title 27, I mean, you tie directly to the... Is the
specific for the landfill.
For the landfill. The bigger picture, though, would be the Flood Control District, who's concerned with the whole 20 miles.
And they have
so.
Their own engineers and engineering geologists that... Take a look at all of that.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, Tom Fayram, Public Works Director, Assistant Deputy Public Works Director here, is he's up. We have weekly conference calls with him and all the other agencies on flooding potential issues.
Okay. All right. Any other board comments, questions?
So we are getting a status report?
Yes, okay. We're going to get a status report, Mr. Shallcross, a separate agenda item for the May board meeting. Okay, with Mr. Hageman's presence. Anything else for this, Mr. Briggs? Or
we don't have any other cards.
Just Mr. Hageman, and we heard from him. We have a recommendation from staff.
Right, and do you want to summarize the recommendation, in particular with the supplemental sheet? And actually, maybe we were just reiterating what we had in the order already as far as the supplemental sheet goes.
Yeah, the supplemental sheet that was mailed out actually clarified the staff report. We had inadvertently left in a 500-year reference, 500-year flood protection reference, and then it cleaned up a missed edit on a paragraph. It didn't change the WDR or the MRP, the waste discharge requirements or the monitoring reporting plan at all. It just cleaned up the staff report.
I was looking in the middle of page two, but that's actually just repeating language that was already in the draft order. I was looking at that as a revision, but it's not. So it's the order as drafted, and we'd recommend approval.
Okay, I'm ready for a motion.
Well, I'll move it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously.
And we'll bring a report back on those two issues in May.
Okay, thank you very much for that.